27th. It's really pretty in Malaysia.
Millions of Orphans in the University of Dublin. My beautiful mother is the Sushasism of Bhakti Bhaktian, Keshava Goswami Maharaj. And my Siksha Guru literally asked the stone of Vishnupal, the stroke of Sushasima Bhakti Gajan Swami Maharaj. Last day, we had told that what is bhakti. And in this bhakti, the bhakti of Dhruvasaka, not pure. The bhakti of Prasad Maharaj was, he was Jnani Bhakta. His versatile deity is everywhere. He has no appetite. He has no thirst, nothing. So what can he serve? Only prayer to him. But more than him, though Varish Maharaj was not Siddha, but Sarva, but he is more superior than Jnani Bhakta Prahlad Maharaj. How Shyamrani will explain it in brief.
Guru Dev, they told me you asked me to speak about Ajamil, so I studied Ajamil. But my university, I'll try to speak about Maharaj Ambarish.
No, you don't.
Oh, my
God. In brief, you should tell.
Om Jnanam Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksuram Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipful Diksha Gurudev. Nichalila Pravishta Om Vishnu Pai Astotra Sri Sri Srimach Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev, Om Vishnupada Astotra Sri Srimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. Srila Gurudev has ordered me to speak about Maharaj Ambarish, who was an example of Shuddha Bhakta. He was a Shuddha Bhakta, which means that he was situated, unlike Prahlada Maharaj, who was a Mahabharata situated in Prema Bhakti, in his Vastu city. Maharaj Ambarish was situated in Bhava Bhakti. Very pure, although he was not on the level of Prahlad in terms of his realization of the Lord, because he was in Bhava Bhakti and he didn't have the spiritual body. Within, he was always meditating on the pastimes of the Lord. Externally, being a great king, he had his capital city in Mathura, which is in Braj Mandal. So his absorption was in Krishna of Vrindavan. One can understand the level of one's devotion by who is his istadev. Prahlad Maharaj's istadev was Lord Srinadev, who is not as complete a manifestation of the Lord as Lord Krishna, who is the most complete. So therefore, even though Prahlad Maharaj has so much unlimited glory, because he's Ishtadeva is not the perfectly complete feature of the Lord, the original Swayam Bhagavan, who includes all of their incarnations. His devotion was as a Jnani Bhakti, because he worshipped the Lord who manifested all the omniscience, the omniscience, the never getting tired. So the Ishtadeva of Ambarish Maharaj is Krishna in Vrindavan or Mathura. So even though he's in Bhava Bhakti, he is in a higher level of purity because his Ishtadeva requires more personal service. So being the king of the world, although he had so many worldly responsibilities, he turned over those responsibilities to his ministers, and he was personally engaged in the service of the deities. Very good manager. Savai Krishna Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. He always engaged his mind in thinking of Krishna, his legs in walking to the temple, his hands in touching the devotees in service, his tongue in tasting Krishna Prasadam, his ears in glorifying the Lord. And all of his senses were fully engaged in the Lord's service. So one of the aspects that Maharaj Ambarish is very famous for is his observance of Ekadasi under all conditions. Speaking of all conditions, because he was a pure devotee, he managed his kingdom in such a way that his whole kingdom was full of Krishna Bhakti. There was no severe heat, cold, enviousness, and all of his citizens practically were engaged in Krishna Bhakti and Krishna Kirtan. So everybody was happy. One day, the great sage Durvasa Rishi came to the palace of Maharaj Ambarish. It's generally expected that when a Brahmana comes to one's house, especially the house of the king will immediately feed that Brahmana and give up all other considerations. But Maharaj Ambarish had a very special consideration, which was that the day before was Ekadasi. He would observe the full Ekadasi fasting, the evening before Ekadasi, the whole day of Ekadasi. Then the next day, first he would make sure to worship the Lord, the Brahmanas, the Vaishnavas, and then at the time of Kadam, the exact right time to break the fast, he would do so. That time was not yet, so he was still fasting. But then Maharaj Durvasa Rishi came and he said, yes, I'll take some prasadam, but first I'll go and bathe in the river, do some meditation. So he went to bathe in the river, and while he was gone, the time of Padan was quickly approaching. So Maharaj Ambarish was thinking what to do. He had his whole council of Brahmanas, but being a pure Vaishnava, he didn't need their counsel. He knew, I have to break the fast at this particular time, otherwise my Ekadasi vrat, my vow of Ekadasi, all the austerities I did in the last days will be voided out. So I must take part at the right time. But at the same time, I must properly honor this Brahmana by giving him prasadam before I take. So thinking and thinking, he considered, if I serve the Brahman, then I won't go to hell, but I'll be in hell because I'll lose my bhakti. Ekadasi is an expansion of Bhakti Devi, or synonymous with Bhakti Devi. Ekadasi is the express manifestation of Krishna. Krishna was thinking, these souls in this material world are so fallen. He even went through the hellish planets and saw the different kinds of hells in Vrindavan, Kundipaka, and he was thinking, how can I save these fallen people from these disastrous hells? Yes, I shall become a titi, I shall become a day, a kadasi. And anyone who simply observes the very easy rules and regulations of Ekadasi, I'll deliver him from the cycle of birth and death, and he can attain me. So knowing this, Maharaj Ambarish was thinking, Bhakti Devi will leave me, I won't be in hell, but Bhakti Devi will leave me, and I'll be in worse hell. And then, if I don't satisfy the Brahman, surely I'll go to hell, but I'll still have my bhakti, so I'll feel like I'm in Vaikuntha. So he decided that if I take some Krishna's charanamrita, the water that bathed the lotus feet of the Lord, that will be considered eating and not eating. So I'll be able to satisfy both. And this was confirmed also by these Brahmin counselors, that this is the right thing to do. So he took a little bit of charanamrita. And then, some minutes later, Srivasa Rishi came. And because he's a great mystic yogi, he knew in his mystic trance that Maharaj Amrish had taken the water. So he puffed up by false prestige, thinking, how could this lowly Grihastha, Kshatriya, a great Brahmana, renunciate like me? So he immediately, in his great anger, he pulled out a dreadlock from his hair and threw it on the floor. And immediately, a very great demoness made of fire came out from his hair and immediately began to charge Maharaj Amrish. So Maharaj Amrish didn't become afraid at all. Rather, he simply folded his palms, meditating on the pastimes of Krishna, knowing, Mari Krishna Rake Ke Rake Krishna Mari Ke. Whoever Krishna wants to kill, nobody can save. And who Krishna wants to save, nobody can kill. So the Lord had already made a promise that anyone who is my pure devotee, I will protect him by my Sudarshan Chakra, my disc weapon, my ultimate weapon, which dissolves the whole universe at the time of destruction, and which is the source, as my representative, the source of all universes. So Krishna hurled his Sudarshan Chakra, and that chakra, immediately, in an instant, the fire demon was already made of fire, so I don't know how this happened, but the chakra burnt that fire demon to ashes, turned the fire to ashes, and then the Sudarshan Chakra immediately started pursuing Maharaj Amrish, Durvasa Muni, who went everywhere, up in the mountains, by his mystic potency, he could travel everywhere, in the air, in the sky, in the sea, on the mountains, in the caves. So he went everywhere. Then he went all the way up to Brahmaloka to take shelter of Lord Brahma. And Brahma said, I can't protect you. Even I and all my associates are under the control of time. The Lord controls us, so how can we save you from his activities? Then he went to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva told him the same thing. We're all under the control of time. Who's under the control of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna? And Lord Shiva didn't even want him to stay there because we don't want to associate with people who are against Krishna, do we? Because then we become implicated. So Lord Shiva said, if you want protection, you must go to Vishnu himself, Krishna himself. So he was able, by his mystic power, to reach the Vaikuntha planet that is in this material universe called Ramapriya Vaikuntha. And there, he saw Lord Narayan. And he made an appeal that this Kshatriya, householder, he offended me, and now I'm in great danger from your Sudarshan Chakra. Please protect me. So the Lord said, you don't know who I am. I belong to my devotees. I'm not independent. I live in the heart of my devotee, and my devotee lives in my heart. I know no one but my devotee, and he knows no one but me. I'm not independent. So I consider that by you attempting to kill my devotee, you've attempted to kill me. You should know that austerity and knowledge, when it's in the hands of a wicked person, it serves only to destroy that wicked person. It doesn't do any good. You used your austerity, your mystic power of trance, to see that he ate before you, which he didn't. He only took water because he had to follow the party time in my service. This was bhakti. And when you tried to kill him, he didn't even wince. He just took shelter of me, fully dependent on me. But you, in the name of being a Brahmana, in the name of being a mystic yogi, in the name of being a renunciate, you had no faith in me. You were totally attached to your body, and you ran for your life, for protection. So how can I save you? Rather, if you want to be saved, then you should go back to Earth, to Maharaj Ambarish, and beg pardon from him. So this traveling throughout the universe, to Brahma Loka, to Shiva Loka, to Vishnu Loka, took one whole year. And all that time that Maharaj Ambarish was waiting in his palace for the return of Durvasa Rishi, he was lamenting, "Oh, fie on me. I've committed such a great offense. On my account, this poor Brahmana has to suffer." So he was fasting, repenting, until this Brahmana would return so that he could give him prasadam. One may say that, well, he was so diligent about following the codicil, and now he's fasting all year without taking anything? He's missed so many codicils. The Gurudev said, actually, he's transcendental. But he was showing to follow a codicil just for our sake, how important it is to follow a codicil. So he was being protected by the Lord, so he was able to fast throughout the whole year. Then, now being ordered by the Lord, who was very angry at Durvasa Muni, Durvasa came and fell flat at the feet of Maharaj Ambarish, who had been praying to Sudarshan Chakra, that if I have done any pious activities, if I have done any devotional service, then please cool off and don't kill this Brahmana. So immediately Sudarshan Chakra stopped its heat, and the Brahmana fell flat at the feet of Maharaj Ambarish to beg pardon. And Maharaj Ambarish said, "Oh yes, at once, immediately, take all the results of my pious activities, immediately be delivered." And he gave a big feast of prasadam to Durvasa Rishi. Durvasa Rishi was able to see, by the beautiful, selfless, non-vengeful activities of this pure Vaishnava, what the greatness of a devotee is. And so he himself became a devotee under his direction and flew off into the skyways, glorifying Maharaj Ambarish. One may ask that whenever Krishna wants to kill a demon, instantly it cuts off the head of that demon. When he wanted to kill Salva, when he wanted to kill Shishupal, all the demons were killed instantly. So why is it that the Sudarshan Chakra, even after 1 year of chasing Durvasa Rishi, how is it that he couldn't even reach him? There's two answers, many, but two answers are, one, because of the prayers of Maharaj Ambarish to save him, and more importantly, he himself was a pure devotee of such a high caliber that he actually performed pastimes with the gopis. He even gave benediction to Srimati Radhika that she would be able to cook with such wonderful perfection that anybody whom she cooked for would become invincible. And therefore, Mother Yasoda always wanted her to cook for Krishna to give him good health and protection. Also, Durvasa Muni was in the pastimes of Krishna and his cowherd boyfriend, which is another interesting story. So he's such a great devotee, he's actually able to associate with Krishna himself and his associates. So why did he act the way he did? Because he wanted to show the glory of Maharaj Ambarish. A real devotee isn't interested in showing his own glory, he wants to glorify the devotees. So to establish the glory of Maharaj Ambarish, who was so showed the qualities of non-vengeance, of humility, of full dependence on the Lord, of full faith in Ekadasi, of taking the responsibility of giving everyone in his care Krishna consciousness. Like it states in the Shastra, no one should be a mother or a father or a king or a teacher unless he can save his ward from the clutches of death. So Maharaj Ambarish took this responsibility. So Durvasa Rishi was assisting Maharaj Ambarish in showing the glory of Ekadasi. So he was able to not mind being the bad guy. So we learn from the teachings, from the life character of Maharaj Ambarish, that even though he was situated on Bhava Bhakti, which was less than Prema Bhakti, because his Ishtadev was Krishna himself, he was actually doing Manasi Seva and meditating in Bhava Bhakti on how he was serving the Lord internally. So this is much more intimate. And the degree of the advancement or perfection of a devotee is based on his intimacy with the Lord. For example, yesterday we discussed Guru Tattva. So Srila Gurudev explained that even pure devotees like Prahlad or any other great pure devotee is only a partial guru, though they're fully perfect, Mahabhagavats, and you heard about his glories yesterday. Fully perfect, and yet they're not complete gurus because their istadev is not complete. So who is the complete and completely pure, completely perfect guru? The guru who has not only Krishna as his istadev, but the istadevi of Krishna, Srimati Radhika. And therefore somebody like our Gurudev and the gurus in the Rupanuga Guru Varga, they have lakhs, millions of times more power to give the highest benediction of service to Srimati Radhika to all fallen souls. They have the most power to touch someone on the head, take away all their anartas, and give Krishna prema. So because of Maharaj Ambarish's increased intimacy over the previous devotees, that is Sakam Dhruva and Jnani Bhakta, Prahlad Maharaj, he's called the Shuddha Bhakti.
There was a king, Chitraketu Maharaj. But by the mercy of Angida Rishi and Narada Rishi, how he became a very high class of devotee. Even he wanted to serve Krishna like gopis. So, Bhaktivedanta Giri Maharaj will explain. Come here.
Srila Gurudev, you want me to tell the whole story or just the brief sura about
it? In brief, we have to tell so many things. Many things.
Okay, so Chitraketu Maharaj was the king of the whole universe and he had Om Gyanata Mirandasya Gyananjana Shrakaya Chakshu Nritamena Tasmaishi Gurave Namaha Gurave Gurachanjaya Radhikaya Itadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhakta Tadbhaktaya Namo Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Radhikaya Priyatmane Shishimad Bhakti Vedanta Narayani Itinamine Vanchakalpataduvyascha Kripasinduvyevacha Patitanam Pavanvyo
So before beginning, let me offer my humble obeisance to innumerable Dandavat Pranams, Lord Speaker, my beloved Gurudev, Srimad Bhaktivedanta Narayana Goswami Maharaj, and to the Lord Speaker, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, all our Guru Guru Bhaga, all Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, everybody's Sanyasi Gandhi, Sanyasi Gandhi. So Srila Gurudev is welcome to talk about the Chitraketu and.
No longer that I can hear.
Srila Gurudev has ordered me to speak about the Charitra, the history of King Chitraketu and Vritasura. This is a very long and complicated story. I will try to fit it all in 10 minutes. So King Chitraketu, he was the emperor of the whole world, and he had thousands of queens. However, he was not happy, because he could not, even though he had so many queens' wives, he could not get a male son. So then one day, Angira Rishi came to him, and Chitraketu, he said to Angira, Angira said to him, "You should not be so attached. Why are you worried about a son? You should do pure devotional service." But then King Chitraketu said, "No, you know, what you say is very good, but it's not for me. I still want the son, because who will continue my dynasty if I have no son?" So then Angira Rishi relented, but to teach him a lesson in detachment from material desires, he said to him, "Okay, I will give you the benediction that you can have a son, but this son will be the cause of both great happiness and great distress." So King Chitraketu agreed to this condition. He said, "I don't care what will happen in the future, as long as I can have a son, I'll be very happy." So then Angira Rishi benedicted him, and one of his queens begotten a very beautiful and talented and effulgent son. Actually, Angira Rishi took the form of this son by his mystic powers. So their son's name was Shoka Harsha, which means happiness distress. And when he grew, as he grew up, he was so lovable, so sweet, and so intelligent that King Chitraketu became greatly attached to him and forgot everything else. Then all the other queens, they became very envious of the queen who had the son, because now King Chitraketu was completely neglecting them, and there's nothing worse than neglecting wife and neglected woman. So then they conspired to say the cause of our unhappiness is this child. So let's get rid of him. So they gave Shoka Harsha very strong poison, and he died. So when the child died, then the queen and the king, Chitraketu, they became extremely distressed. "Oh, we lost everything, we lost our beloved son. Oh, why is fate so cruel? Oh, my son, why have you left us? Fate is so cruel." They're lamenting like anything. So then Narad Rishi, who can see everything by his meditation, he appeared on the scene, and he said to King Chitraketu, "Why are you lamenting so bitterly? What is this?" He said, "Well, I just lost my son, you know. You have some mystic powers. Can you bring him back to life?" So Narad Rishi said, "Okay, I'll bring him back to life. No problem." He put his hand on the boy's chest or head, and the boy came back to life. So the boy got up again, and then Chitraketu said, Oh my son, you're alive again." But then the son, who was now gone past death and come back, he said, "Your son? I'm your son? Who is son? Who is father?" "Actually, in past lives, many lives, I have been your father and you were my son. So who's father and who's son?" And then he gave him a whole instruction about the temporary nature of this material body, the eternal nature of the soul, and the duty of the soul to actually engage, our duty to actually engage in exclusive pure bhajan to Krishna. And then he said, "Actually, I was very happy, because where I went after this body, I could do bhajan. So actually, I don't want to come back. I don't want again to be the son in this kingdom, the son of these people that call me the mother and father." So the lesson here is that we should not be attached, we should not be too attached to our material relationships, because they are temporary, and the greater our attachment to these relationships of mother, father, husband, wife, child or daughter, the greater we will suffer when we will have to separate from them. And this will inevitably come sooner or later. So we should not be so too much attached. We should be attached to Guru and Krishna. So then when Shoka Harsha said, that actually I don't want to come back to this life. I'd rather die and go to my next destination. Then King Chitraketu would grieve. And then after this, Narad Muni gave him a mantra to worship Sankarshan. And then he became a pure devotee. In the next life, he got the body of a Gandhara and could fly in the sky. Being a devotee of Sankarshan, he became a god brother of Lord Shiva, who also worshipped Sankarshan. So then, one day, Chitraketu in this body of a pure devotee, a Gandhara, was flying in the sky. And he saw Lord Shiva in Kailash giving Harikatha. But he was completely naked except some snakes covering his groin. And Parvati, Sati, was sitting on his lap. And he was naked, he was embracing his wife, and he was giving Harikatha. So Chitraketu laughed. He said, "Oh, my friend Shiva Ji, this is not proper for you to give Harikatha to all these rishis while you're embracing your wife in this condition. What would they think? You know, this is not proper. You're a great soul and you're an example for others. You should not do like this." So Shivaji, he did not take any offense because he understands the heart of his god brother and very good friend Chitraketu. But Parvati, she got offended, and she said to Chitraketu, "Oh, you're criticizing Lord Shiva? Even Lord Brahma and all the demigods worship him, and he's worshipping for them, and you're trying to instruct him, you're trying to be his guru. This is all wrong. I curse him to take birth in the body of a demon." So she cursed him in order to show us the example that we should not criticize a pure Vaishnava. But actually, Chitraketu was so powerful, he would counteract the offense, the curse of Parvati. But he chose not to. He just accepted it without complaining. Why? Because he wanted to show us that we should respect the words and the orders, even the curse of Parvati, who sold it to Lord Shiva. He considered Lord Shiva and Parvati superior to him, so he just accepted this curse without complaint. And he only became a demon, Vritasura, for a very big time, only to show us this lesson. When he became a demon, Vritasura, then there's a whole complicated story where the demons and the demigods were fighting, and then the demons neglected the guru, Shukracharya, so then the demigods defeated them. So then the demigods took over the kingdom of the demons. But then Indradev was being worshipped and he got puffed up, so now he's the king of the three worlds. And when Brihaspati came into the assembly, Indradev said, why is Brihaspati coming here to disturb this, where everyone is worshipping me? And he didn't get up. So then Brihaspati understood the mind of the disciple, said he's committing an offense, and he disappeared. So then the demigods, because of that, lost their power. Because it's only by the blessings of Guru that we have any power to do anything. And then the demons attacked the demigods and took them over. The demons were attacked by... So then the demigods went to Narayan, Lord Narayan, and complained that they are being defeated by the demon. What to do? So then Lord Narayan told them, "You go to the Dichi Rishi. His body is so strong because of Vajra and austerities, you can use his bones to create a thunderbolt weapon, and only this weapon can defeat Vritasura, the demon who's defeating you." So they approached the Dichi Rishi for his bones, and he laughed and he said, "Oh, you're so selfish, just to protect yourself, you don't care about the lives of others." But anyway, he made an arrangement for them to use his bones. And with this thunderbolt weapon, Lord Indra confronted Vritasura and started fighting with him. But he could not really defeat him. But then Vritasura laughed at Indra and started taunting him, and he said, You should come and kill me. What are you waiting for? You know, I don't want to stay in this body of a demon. You know, I cannot do bhajan in this body of a demon. Why don't you come? And he was like, you know, he didn't care whether he lives or dies. But on this occasion, he was, when Indra finally overcame him, Pritasura uttered four prayers, which are among the jewels of the Bhagavatam. These four prayers are very important because it's the first time in the Bhagavatam, in this sixth canto, that there's a hint of Gopi Bhava. So the first shloka is Ahamarecha Varpadaika Mula. Pritasura said, wherever I take birth, let me be the servant of the servant of your devotees. Only by taking shelter of your devotees can I please you. There is no other way. He was praying to Krishna in this way. Then he went to say, Nanaka Prashtana Chakrashit Meshtayam. I don't want to go to Swarga. I don't want to go to Brahmaloka. I don't want the kingdom of Pataloka. I don't want Mukti. I don't I do not desire yogic mystic perfections. I just want the association of your pure devotees. And he ended the shloka by saying, Viraha Kankshe, I want to relish the mood of separation for you. So this is very interesting. You know, we don't like separation. As soon as Gurudev leaves this festival, we all feel deep separation. But Pritasura, actually Chikaketu in the body of the demon Pritasura, is teaching us that actually it is beneficial for us to relish this mood of separation. And then he went on to say, Ajata Pakshaiva Mataranka Gastanyam Yata Vatsata Rakshidatta Priyam Priyeva Vishitam Vishanam Mano Ravidaksha Vidrikshatetvam. So Ajata Pakshaiva Mataranka Gastanyam refers to a baby bear whose wings have not grown yet, and he's crying for his mother. He's crying very, very eagerly for his mother. But why? Only because his anxiety, his mother is not around, she's looking for some food for him, maybe another bird will come and eat him. So as soon as the mother comes and she is there, he stops crying for his mother. So he's only crying for his mother because he wants something. And then, stanam yatava tsatsarak shudarata, the baby cub is very eager for his mother to come back and feed him. And he cannot wait, and he just stretches the rope tied around his neck, and as soon as the owners let go of the rope, he rushes to the mother and takes the mother's leave. So we should also, like this, have eagerness for Bhagavan. But still, the calf is only eager for his mother because he wants to get fed, but he wants the comfort of getting together with his mother, like this. But then the third line, Priyam Priyada Vishitam Vishana, refers to a chaste woman whose lover is far away and she is missing him. So Priyam Priyada could mean either like a wife and a husband, but Shiva Gurudev explains it actually refers to a lover and a beloved, not to a husband and wife. So a chaste woman, when she misses her lover, she does not want anything from him. She just thinks, when we can be together again, so I can serve him in all respects. She does not expect anything. Manora vidaksha vidrikshatetvam. In this state of mind, I'm eager to see you. Pritasura is playing to the Lord. So at this stage of this, when Chikadev Goswami was uttering this shloka, he was getting a little bit into Gopi Bhava. So this is the first hymn in the Bhagavatam, the sixth canto of what's to come, of Gopi Bhava. So this is like the mood of a pure devotee. He wants Krishna without anything in return. He just wants to serve Krishna. Just like when young men and young women, when they see each other, they're naturally attracted. Let my heart, in the same way, be spontaneously attracted to you. So then he ended with the last shloka, Mamotsama shloka Janeshu Sakyam. So Uttama shloka is Rajana Nandana Krishna, and Janeshu referring to the Jan, the Vrajavasi, and Sakyam means friendship, the Buddha friendship that you have with your devotees, that Buddha I have.
Now, before he was just praying to be the servant of the servant. Then he was saying, praying for the association with your devotees. Then he was praying to be like a woman and a beloved. And now he's saying, I want this mood of friendship, because fruit, mood of friendship is devoid of all reverence. So actually, it's like stuck the mood. And this is like Krishna Vena Guru Seva. Only when we serve Guru with a mood of intimacy devoid of fear, we can understand, we can have some hint of how Gurudev is serving his Arada Dev, his worshipful deity. And only when we have some understanding of the inner mood of Gurudev, and we understand how he is worshipping his loving moods towards Krishna, then we can please Krishna. So these are some of the lessons that the Vrita Suras was teaching us by uttering these shlokas, and some of the lessons that Srimad Bhagavatam Vrita Sura was teaching us by his pastimes, and Gurudev is trying to teach us through this. I've tried to recap a little bit of this, what I heard from Shiva Gurudev, Pancha Bhagavatam Gurudev.
Now, we are coming in Krishna's pastimes. There was a king of the sand. His son was like a demon. He wanted to kill Bhakta, green trees, especially mango and like fruitful. And he wanted to kill rishis, maharshis, and cows. So Brahma, Shankar, with all demigods, he went to Khir Samudra and prayed, Prabhu, now the weight of all these demons, earth cannot tolerate. Very soon you should come. Then voice came, don't worry, I know all these things, very soon I am coming. You demigods, they should come in the dynasty of Gop and Jadav. And very soon I am coming. Then the son of Ugrasen Maharaj was comes. Once he was giving marriage to his daughter, his sister Devaki to Vasudev Maharaj. In the way himself comes, was became a charioteer. And he began to take the horses to Vasudev Maharaj's house. In the way, every voice came, Javo, Kals, to whom you are with honor and affection. Honor and affection you are taking. Oh, the eighth womb of that Devaki will kill you. Hearing this, he left the chariot and jumped up and took one hand sword forward and second hand on the head of Devaki and wanted to cut that one. But anyhow, by so many tricks, Vasudev Maharaj said to him, this sea will not kill you. The children who will come from the home of Devaki, to all I will give to you. You can kill them. Then he agreed and he left Vasudev Devaki. In the meantime, at the time, in the eighth home of Devaki, in the midnight, Krishna appeared as a 16 years very young boy, four-handed, Shankh Chakra Gada Padma in hand, and Devaki Vasudev began to pray him, and they prayed that you should be a small children. In the meantime, at the same time, Nand Baba wife Yashoda gave her birth to Krishna, who was himself Swayam Bhagavan. He came from the womb of, not he appeared, he came from the womb of Mother Yashoda. And in the morning, so many Brahmins were called, they recited mantra, and they did jat samskar, the nail, that was cut down there. When every shine of Krishna birth from the womb of Yashoda was there. Next day, a very big mahotsav was done there. So Krishna is son of Vasudev, Yashoda and Devaki. But he did not came from the womb. He appeared just appeared, four-handed. But in the Mother Yashoda womb, from him, her, he came in a Purna Bhagavan, Madhurya Purna Bhagavan. He was Purna Par, Krishna was Purnest. In this way, but Devaki and Vasudev Maharaj were praying that you should be a child. Then Vasudev Maharaj took Krishna in his lap and he went across Yamuna river, and he went there in Yashoda house, and he kept Krishna and took a lady, baby, coming from home. So Yashoda has given two children, one Krishna first, and after that, that Jogumaya. Vasudeva Maharaj took it and brought in the jail. The iron gates and everything were as before. And then Kans came and saw and took forcibly that Jogmaya, and he wanted to kill by throwing on a stone. But she went in the sky and told, "Oh, Kans, who will kill you has taken birth already." And then he pushed by his feet and he went away. Then Kans thought that, oh, there is some conspiracy from Devaki, any boy was to be born. But what became? Perhaps demigods had done something. Sarayantra.
Conspiracy.
Anyhow, he called all his demon mantri mandal, ministers. Who were they? They were Putana, Agasur, Bakasur, and all others, Charu, Mustik and others. And they told, "We will kill any boy in whole breath who is less than 10 days, they will everywhere go and see. And put not on that, you don't worry, I am coming very soon. I had some idea that he has taken birth in Gokul, and she went there hiding his form, demon form, and she became a very beautiful lady and went there and what became there in brief. Very
brief.
So now we are arriving in Gokul. Putana, as we just heard, big demoness. Yeah. She could fly in the sky like a witch. She had a very long body. She could expand herself. And she was very fond of drinking the blood of small children. So by her mystic potency, she transformed herself in a very, very attractive lady. Yeah, and she came to Gokul and she heard that there was a great festival just a few days ago, and Krishna was born in the house of Nanda from Yashoda Maya. So she came, knocked on the door, and she was so beautiful that all were completely in shock. They thought, oh, how beautiful this lady, how lovely. She must be a very kind person. Yeah. So as she came in, she took small Krishna on her lap and wanted to give him her breast. Nobody thought anything bad about it. Yeah. They thought, oh, she wants to offer her breast and give her mother milk to small to baby Krishna. So as she was taking Krishna in her lap, yeah, small Krishna, baby Krishna, then Krishna, he understood, yeah, oh, here she is, Putana, she has come trying to kill me, but I should give her some benediction. So he closed his eyes and he took her breast and he sucked out her life as well as all the poison. Her breast was filled with poison, smeared with poison. Yeah. So Krishna, he didn't let go. Putana became so anxious. Oh, what to do? This baby is so strong. I cannot push him away. Then Krishna, small baby, and Putana had the strength of 100,000 elephants. She could not push Krishna away. And Krishna, he went on her breast and she expanded her body 8 miles long. And Krishna had a fairy ride on her breast and he sucked out her life. And Putana crashed, yeah, on the road to Mathura to her brother Kamsa. Yeah, and she left her body, and this way Krishna took care of the first demon. Like Chakrabarti Krishna
Rambandalila. Very powerful. You Brahma Mohan. Louder.
Yes,
Gravidodachandraya Radhikaya Istadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadvantaya Namo. At first I offer my unlimited Dandavat Pranam and Lotus Feet of Gurudev and Vishnupad Param Sishna and Bhakti Dandarayana Sri Maharaj and Panikla Krishna Vishnupad Param Sri Gaurav and Sri Maharaj. Then all the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavas and Vaishnavas. So Gurudev ordered me to speak on the Dham Kundalini. this pastime is very, very significant in all the Krishna's pastimes. How Krishna is Surat, Krishna is unlimited, but Mother Yashoda bound that Supreme Lord by the rope of her love. So Gurudev describes this very nicely in the Mantra Kakti. Whatever I remember, I'll try to describe. So Mother Yashoda thinks that, oh, Krishna is now 2 years old. He is going in a brother, different houses, stealing butter. Always so many complaints coming. Some gopi is coming, telling Mother Yashoda, your Lala is stealing butter in the house. Not only stealing, breaking the pots, sometimes teaching the children, untying the calf so that the calf will drink all the milk, will not get anything. What to do? Became so much naughty. Please take care of your Lala. Sometimes some gopis telling Mother Yashoda that Krishna came and was once, I caught him red-handed. While he was, his hand was inside the yogurt pot. Then when the gopi caught Krishna, oh Krishna, I today caught and take you Mother Yashoda. Krishna advised her, why are you catching me? I have no fault. I am searching my calf. Where your calf will come inside the pot? That once Krishna took one small marble cup and so, oh, this is my calf. Then the gopi laughed and Krishna left. And sometimes the gopis also takes Krishna and catch together so many gopis. But today we take to Mother Yashoda. She never believed that, oh, I have so much butter, yogurt in my house. Why my Lala will go to steal butter from others' house? So then they together they tell, oh, you have to today obey. Whatever we tell, you have to obey, otherwise we'll complain to Mother Yashoda. The Krishna, we have to dance today. And Krishna has to dance, and then little butter will they give, and Krishna has to dance. There's so many ways they come to Mother Yashoda and complain. Actually, they tell to Mother Yashoda, oh Yashoda, your Lala doing so many sweet pastimes in our house. But we are so fortunate, we always see these pastimes like this. They are actually not only complaining, they are describing their good fortune before Mother Yashoda. One day early morning, Mother Yashoda thinking that maybe the butter prepared in the house is prepared by maid servants is not so tasty. That's why Krishna doesn't like to take butter in my house, going to steal butter from others' houses. So Mother Yashoda, in previous day, collected so much milk. How many cows Mother Yashoda had? 9,000 cows. Among them, very, very special Padma Gandha cows, whose body aroma was bodily fragrance was like lotus. Very special cows. And among those special cows, Mother Yashoda collected herself milk the cows and collected the milk and then boiled and put the jamun to make it yogurt. And next very early morning, Mother Yashoda woke up and tried to churning that yogurt to get the butter. And nearby in a fire, put the boiled some milk to prepare, condense it, make some sweets for Krishna. In the meantime, while Mother Yashoda is churning the yogurt, she is thinking sweet pastimes of Krishna. How my Lala is now so sweet. How her face is so sweet. Cannot talk properly, but so sweet. So thinking the glories and beauty of Krishna, constantly she churning the yogurt pot and singing, Govinda Damodar Madhave Ji, Govinda Damodar Madhave Ji, Govinda Damodar Madhave Ji, Govinda Damodar Madhave Ji. While while Mother Yashoda is singing like this, chanting the yogurt, and her bangles in her hand, like playing like karta. And the yogurt part, the sound is coming like murdanga, dhik tan, dhik tan, dhik tan, dhik tan. Actually, the pot is telling, fire in them, those who don't remember Krishna. Such beautiful glories, never chant these beautiful names of Krishna. Oh, their life is completely useless. Like this, Mother Yashoda fully absorbed in Kirtan. In the meantime, Krishna woke up. When Krishna woke up in bed, so that Mother Yashoda that day is completely absorbed in Kirtan, not coming to Lala to wake him up. Usually Mother Yashoda comes to Krishna and sings nice songs. Now then wakes Krishna up, take to her lap and give breast milk. And like this, but that day Mother is not coming. Krishna sleeps low and very difficulty he came down with the bed and came to, with a half sleep condition, came to Mother Yashoda. Very difficult, even killing big, big demons. He never had to do so much labor and not give Krishna so much labor to wake up. Then came to Mother Yashoda, approached very slowly. The Mother is fully absorbed. In one hand, Krishna hold the charming stick, and one hand, the hairs of Mother Yashoda. Then at once, Mother Yashoda's meditation broke. Oh, my Lala has come. At once, Mother Yashoda took Krishna to the lap and started to kiss his face and give milk, breast milk. And Krishna is very peacefully drinking milk, and Mother Yashoda completely seeing the beautiful face of her Lala and fully life absorbed. In the meantime, the milk is nearby boiling over and thinking that, oh, see, how big is Krishna's stomach? Krishna is Supreme Lord. His stomach is unlimited. Even millions of milk ocean cannot fill the stomach of Krishna. How much milk is Mother Yashoda has? Unlimited milk oceans can flow from Mother Yashoda, and Krishna's stomach will never fill. Now, I have never chance to serve Krishna. My life is useless. Like this, the milk is thinking and boiling over, jumping to the fire. Oh, my life is useless. Kenava asve pran kisu kalagya nartam das kena nagalamariya. Nartanas Thakur, great Vaishnava Acharya, is singing this song. What is the use of my life? My life is cannot come in the service of Krishna. What is the use of my life? It is useless. Better to die than to serve. The milk is like representing the sadhana, the practitioner bhakti, and like jumping himself, giving up his life, jumping into the fire. The Mother Yashoda at once saw, oh, the milk is boiling over, thinking the milk is very useful in service of Krishna, because the mind will take care of prepare lavrity sundays and so many sweets. I have to feed Krishna. Krishna wants so many times different sweets. I cannot give. So Mother Yashoda told, oh, wait, I am coming. So in that time, Krishna is completely holding Mother with the teeth, like monkey, with the legs and hand tightly, and Mother cannot leave him. But even Putana, just Pradhanathu described how Putana, in the strength of 10,000 elephants, wanted to remove Krishna from her body while Krishna is sucking the milk, but he could not. Krishna did not do any effort. Krishna was completely like an innocent child, only 6 days old. Could not remove Putana. Putana could not remove Krishna. He's so much strength. But how much strength Mother Yashoda has? More than, because Krishna's mother. In one hand, Mother Yashoda caught Krishna, or sit here. Then Krishna tried completely with all his power. But Krishna could not stop Mother Yashoda going there. And then Krishna became very, very angry. And Mother Yashoda went and sprinkled some water and made the milk cool down. In the meantime, Krishna became very, very angry and found this big pot full of yogurt and buttermilk Mother Yashoda was preparing. And this pot is the cause of everything. He became very angry, started to shake, but could not shake that pot, very heavy pot. Krishna is a small child, and found the butter. The bottom part is very, very soft. And took a low down piece of that grinding mortar and broke the bottom part and all the yogurt started to spread in the ground. Became very happy. Next moment thinking, Mother will come, they'll chastise me. What to do? Became very, very afraid. started to escape. He saw one room is like, there is one room, there is one way to go out to the road outside. So Krishna entered that room. But when he entered the room, he found the big butter pot is hanging. And how to reach there? Oh, there was a grinding mortar. And then that was upside down. He put the grinding mortar and climbed on that, and then could reach the butter pot and eating pot. In the meantime, so many crows and monkeys came. Krishna is not only feeding them also. When in Ram Lila, when Krishna was Lord Ram, at that time these monkeys and these crows, they helped me so much in finding Goddess Sita, preparing the priest. But Lord Ram was at that time in forest, he had nothing to feed them. Even could not give them anything. Weapons even could not give, cloth, food could not give. At that time Krishna fed and repaid their debt. Fed so much makhan. In the meantime, Mother Yashoda came. Who did this? Must be my Lala had done this. He became really very, very naughty. Today I will chastise. I'll discipline. Otherwise, when you become bigger, you become so much not my good image of my family. My Mother Yashoda then started to search. How it pounds? How she found Krishna? Thief can do so many things still, but police can find out. How? There are some Krishna's small footprints from the buttermilk was spreading, going to that room. The Mother Yashoda, like completely soundlessly, with taking a cane, and entered that room. And Krishna is very, very clever, looking one eyes when Mother is come into the room. When saw Mother Yashoda is coming, approaching nearby, Krishna jumped and ran away in this day. Krishna is thinking Mother is very housewife, and she will not come to the road, because the road is so many people are there and she will be shy to come. But that day was Diwali, everybody was gone out, busy, then nobody was there in the house. They went to different activities. So at that time Mother Yashoda told, today I will not leave you. I will go to the outside and I will definitely catch you and definitely give you punishment. Then Krishna then started to run, and Mother Yashoda also ran. Mother Yashoda was like in middle age, little fatty body, and sweating, and Krishna is running how? Like in cob, not straight. Very difficult to catch Krishna. And Mother Yashoda's bread, there were so many flowers, jasmine flowers, dropping one by one, opened all the hairs. As if the flowers telling, oh Mother Yashoda, you are not alone, we are all with you. We'll today catch that thief. All together we'll catch that thief today. Why will you escape? Then like this Mother Yashoda running and running. So Mother Yashoda is representing devotee. Krishna's devotion towards the devotee and devotee's devotion towards it. Who can catch Krishna? Whose devotion is more than what Krishna's devotion towards the devotee? Then that devotee can catch Krishna. So Mother Yashoda's devotion is so much. At last finally he could catch Krishna. And then he took Krishna in one hand and started to chastise. Oh, you are a thief? You broke the pot? Who broke the pot? Oh, I did not break the pot. Who made that pot? He broke that pot. Oh, you are so expert in talking. Who fed these monkeys? Who made the monkeys? He fed the monkeys. Actually, Krishna like this. Actually, Krishna is telling truth. Who created the monkeys? Krishna created the monkeys. Like this, I told you are a thief. Then Krishna telling, oh, I am not thief. In your dynasty, there is thief. In my Baba's dynasty, Nandava's dynasty, there is no thief. There was one gop in the Mother Yashoda's dynasty named Chor was. Chor means thief. In that name, so Krishna was very intelligent in arguing. Oh, very, very talkative, today I am binding. So started took one, the silk thread is to bind the hair. Mother Yashoda tried to bind Krishna in that hair. And that rope, but could not bind, always two fingers short. Then again he joined, asked all the sakhis from nearby houses, oh Pete, the rope was joined so much, so many ropes, even miles long, but Mother Yashoda even could not bind one round in the belly of Krishna. Even like the sakhis telling, oh Mother Yashoda, why are you trying to bind your son? In his forehead, in his pet, there is no bondage written. Brahma, Vidhaka has not retained the goddess in your son's bed. So how you can bind? The mother is telling, he is born from my womb. I definitely bind. Without binding him, I will not do anything. You are so much determined. Like that, and so many became so long. Mother Yashoda, Krishna saw that mother is sweating all over his body, became very, very tired. Dushtra Parishraman Kripayasi Sabandhane. See the Mother Yashoda's condition, so much labor Mother Yashoda doing to bind Krishna. Krishna desired to accept bondage. As soon as Krishna is Supreme Lord, and how big is Krishna's stomach? It's very, very unlimited. Even whole universe, the rope can go to whole universe, cannot bind one round Krishna's belly. But Krishna can desire the Lila Shakti, can make impossible possible. Avatam Ghatan Pati Shakti of Krishna can make impossible possible. Krishna desired to accept the bondage. As soon as the one rope, Mother Yashoda could bind Krishna. Actually, two fingers were short. What are the two fingers? One is the effort, endeavor we are doing to achieve Krishna. The second one representing the mercy of Krishna. If our endeavor we are doing, but Krishna's mercy is not there, we can never bind Krishna. If Krishna's mercy is there, but we are not doing enough endeavor, we can never bind Krishna. So Mahaprabhu told this Markat Nyaya and Marjan Nyaya. So the Markat Nyaya means the monkey logic. The baby monkey always catches tightly the mother monkey. But mother monkey never takes any care, never catch the monkey, baby monkey. The mother monkey is jumping from one branch to other branch. If that baby monkey is dropped, never take it again. Like this, if doing so much labor, hard labor, his mercy is not there, you can never get. Secondly, kitten, the baby cat is staying one place, not doing any endeavor. A mother will come and take me from one place to other place. Always telling one place, meow, 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 and mother will take from one place to other place. Fully dependent, not does any endeavor. If both type of devotees never get, can never achieve Krishna. So like this, if both is required, our endeavor and the mercy of Krishna. So Mother Yashoda thought, oh, you are this call and crooked, and also the grinding motor who helped you doing these things, is also I'll bind both of you. Then Mother Yashoda bound Krishna's hand in backside and then bound in the grinding motor so that nobody can reach. And Mother Yashoda then went.
Can you tell after that? So, after this, Mother Yashoda, finally she binds Krishna to this grinding mortar and she places Krishna there in the yard with the grinding mortar, and there are two trees there. So, these twin Arjuna trees, how they have come there, there is some history that once previously, when Narada Muni,
Krishna remembered the shop of Narada Rishi, Kunal Kumar and Manipuri.
Yes.
He remembered. And he will have to keep the word, fulfill the word of Narada.
Yes.
So, again,
to tell the history of him, how they came.
Very short,
okay. So, Krishna remembered the words of Narada Muni. That Narada Muni, he became, he was walking once in the Nandankanan garden in the heavenly planet. That time, the sons of Kuvera, Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva, they were there sporting with some damsels of heaven, and they were all naked. When Narada Muni came by that way, the damsels, they became embarrassed and they tried to clothe their bodies. But the two sons of Kuvera were too drunken and they did not do so. So, Narada Muni, he became
merciful upon them, seeing their drunken condition, he decided to give them a curse and a blessing. That you are standing naked like trees, therefore I curse you to become trees. So when they heard this curse, they became very upset and begged Narada Muni to give them some mercy. He said, I cannot remove my curse, but I bless you that you become twin Arjuna trees in the garden of Mother Yasoda, and when Swayam Bhagavan Krishna comes, he will liberate you and break down those trees and liberate you. So these two sons of Kubera, Nala Kubera and Manigriva, were in these twin Arjuna trees, and Krishna was remembering that his great devotee, pure devotee, Sri Narada Muni, had made this blessing upon them that they should become liberated by Sri Krishna. And so he began pulling the mortar and pulling the mortar with his body. He was crawling along and pulling the mortar, and that mortar came finally, pulling and pulling down, and the two trees crashed, like a big crash, and both of them came down. At that time when they came down, Nala Kubera and Manigriva exited from there. They made many prayers to Sri Krishna, and they thanked him for liberating him, and they then went to become two poets, two kavis in Krishna's Leela, where they recite many pastimes of Sri Krishna. Meanwhile, at that time, Nanda Maharaj returned, and he saw the big commotion was going on. He came and he asked, what has happened here? Why these trees have come down? My Lala almost became killed. Then Mother Yasoda, she was also hysterical and she was weeping. So then Nanda Maharaj untied Krishna, and he took Krishna in his lap. Krishna was weeping and weeping, and he was holding Krishna in his lap. Then he was stroking him and just giving him shelter. Then Mother Yasoda, she was very upset. She wanted to give Krishna breast milk, but he was not willing to go. So Rahini went there. She said, oh please, you come. Your mother wants you. She wants to give you breast milk. No, I will not go to Maya. She has tied me here and caused this problem. I am going to stay on the lap of my father, and I will just stay here and I will not go. So then, Rohini being very intelligent, then she told, oh, if you will not go, then maybe your mother, she will be leave this world, she will be very upset. So then he began weeping and weeping, and he goes to his mother, and he takes then again breast milk from his mother, and this he becomes very, very happy, and Mother Yasoda becomes happy, and one more. More Prithanam.
Please.
Guru Vedi Gaura Chanda Radhika Dada Krishna and Krishna Bhakta Tata Bhakta. First of all, offer pranams to Sri Gurudev, Kirandi Sanyasi, Vaishnava, Vaishnava. So, we're hearing about the different demons that Krishna is dispatching one after another. Actually, each one of these demons represents some fault or some unwanted desire that is present in the heart of all of us. They were hearing these pastimes, and this fault can leave us by the power of hearing of Krishna's activities. Even though Krishna destroyed so many demons, still, some things that only Guru can do, that Krishna has specifically delegated towards his devotees. Krishna has his area of responsibility, but the devotee also has his area of responsibility. So last night we heard so much about the glories of Guru, that when Krishna's mercy comes in a condensed form, that is the spiritual master, and Krishna gives mercy to us in the form of the best of the devotees, that is the spiritual master. The original spiritual master, he is Baladev Prabhu, Akhanda Guru Tattva. That means my guru, your guru, his guru, Sri Baladev Prabhu. They were the pastimes of Krishna. Three demons are specifically delegated to Baladev Prabhu. That is Vivida Gorilla, Pralambasaur, and Denakusaur. Denakusaur represents foolishness or ignorance. Like we pray, Omagyan Tivarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshur Amvaritam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Nama. I give my pranam to Gurudev. Why? Because Gurudev removes the darkness of ignorance. How? By manifesting the light of devotion within the heart of the disciple. So, Denakusaur, he had taken the form of a donkey. Actually, he was perfected yogi. He could assume any form. But he chose the form of a donkey because donkey represents foolishness personified. Like in English, we say, come on, man, don't be a donkey. Don't be an ass. Dumbass, jackass. Because donkey is very, very foolish. Even though the donkey carries many, many heavy load on his back all day he's working, what payment does he get? A few sticks on the back and some dry grass. Therefore, materialistic personalities, they're very foolish because they're working day and night, but how many chapatis can they eat at night? And all their hard work, who is benefiting from that? The donkey is not benefiting at all, but still he cannot see this. So one day, Sri Krishna and Balaram and the coward boys were calf grazing in Talavana. When you come to Rajamandal Parikram, you'll see 12 main forests up there in Vrindavan. And Talavana is very famous. Tal means like palm fruit, not like palms in Malaysia, but big like big, more than big than coconut and black. That very makes very good chutney also. Very sweet smell. Therefore, Krishna had killed many demons, therefore the coward boys, they joked with Balaram, oh Balaram, you should also show your strength. Means, these fruits, we want to get some, we want to drink some, therefore you can get some for us. Therefore, Balaram began shaking these tal trees one after another, and those fruits were dropping on the ground, making a big noise, tok, tok, tok. So guarding that forest was foolish demon, Denakusaur. Denakusaur was not thinking this Vrindavan belongs to Krishna and the devotees. Denakusaur was thinking this garden belongs to me and my body, Kamsa Maharaj. Just like what is the real foolishness of the souls in this world? That is, we think, oh, I am this body, and what belongs to this body is for my enjoyment. So Chirukarman used to say, if someone would come and ask, who is she? Oh, Maharaj, she's my wife. Oh. Your wife, you invented her. Did you create her? No. And how you can say she is your wife? So thinking this is mine, but what do we have created? Really, in this world, what do we create except for stool? Nothing. But still we think this is for my enjoyment. Therefore, Denakusaur was thinking this forest belongs for me, not for Krishna.
It belongs to my master, Kamsa. All these stones should be given to I will give to Maharaj Kamsa and he will take it.
This is foolish. So, when Denakusaur heard the sound of the falling tal fruits, tok, 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 and he became very angry and he attacked Balaram. Just like sometimes for our own benefit, Guru gives us some instruction. But what happens? The disciple becomes angry. So sometimes we see like that. Therefore, Guru is so kind, he extends himself in the form of giving some instruction. But foolish disciple cannot understand that this instruction is for my benefit, not for the benefit of the spiritual master. So Denakusaur became very angry. He could not understand the position of Baladev because he's a very foolish fellow. Therefore, he attacked Baladev and tried to kick Baladev with his hind legs. So Sri Baladev, he grabbed the hind legs of the demon and spun him round like a centrifuge. And then he threw him up in the tree, and Denakusaur lost his life and passed to Europe. All the other demons, the disciples of Denakusaur, and sometimes blind, like Prahlad Maharaj was saying the other night, blind guru, blind disciple. Therefore, guru is blind, and the disciples must also be equally foolish. Therefore, the disciples of Denakusaur, his family members, they also attacked Balaram one after another. And Balaram mercifully spun them round and threw them each into the tree. Some of those donkeys had different colors, therefore it presented a very nice scenery. Therefore, after all the demons were killed, Then the cowboys, they did not touch those fruits because those fruits were covered in stolen urine. They were unfit for Sri Krishna's consumption. Therefore, Guru represents Bal. We always see Balaram in his hand, he has a plow and a club. They're the two weapons of Baladev Guru. Even though we cannot see them in Gurudev's hands at the moment, still Gurudev has these two functions. With the plow, he cultivates the heart, Richetta, the heart of the disciple. Disciple, we have so many unwanted weeds, desires for mystic yoga, desires for material perfection, desires to enjoy this world. These are like unwanted weeds. So Guru, by his plow, in the form of his Harikatha, he cultivates the heart of disciple. And club means the disciple has some demonic tendency, then Bahamka. And he also destroys the Bahamka. So Guru, in the form of merciful chastisement and the form of cultivation, he purifies the disciple. And then when the field is nice and clean, then he plants the seed of devotion. Not only that, then he waters the seed by hearing and chanting. Not only that, he protects the seed so no goat-like mayavadis or yogis or bad association will come. So Guru doing so much work for the disciple, cultivating the field, planting the seed, watering, protecting, nourishing. And even that fruit that comes, Guru is not even tasting the fruit of that. That fruit of his, the disciple's devotion that is tasted by Radha Krishna. Therefore, where you can find such a merciful gardener as Sri Gurudev. This pastime all understood, like Balaram's killing Denakusuma. Go up, Premananda. The disciples who collected their donations, by begging, they can give them to Guru Nanak.
Thank you, Guru.
Oh. Drama players should be ready.
Okay. So.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vedanta Shivasadi Om Bhakti. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare.
So now we've so fortunately been hearing the beautiful pastimes of Bhagavan Shri Krishna in Braja Vrindavan. So Srila Gurudev is inundating the whole world with Krishna Leela. Just like his pranav mantra is saying, Shri Krishna Leela Katane Sudaksham, that he is so expert in narrating Krishna Leela. So he wants that everybody will understand the importance of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein all of Krishna's beautiful, sweet pastimes are narrated. So now, there is one pastime wherein Brahmaji, who is the creator of the whole material universe, and he is actually a pure devotee of Krishna. There is one Leela called Brahma Vimohan Leela. So once Sri Krishna performed a pastime in which a snake demon came named Aghasura, and he was miles long and he had a huge mouth, and Krishna had killed that demon by entering into his mouth and saving all the cowherd boys. At the time when that demon died, then a light came out from the top of the demon's head and entered into Sri Krishna's lotus feet. So Lord Brahma, because he always wants to see more sweet pastimes of Sri Krishna, he desired to see some more exhibition of Krishna's wonderful transcendental powers. So one day, Sri Krishna, he wanted to go herding the calves, and Sri Krishna, up to that time, had not taken any calves or cows for cow herding. So now he grew to a certain age, and Sri Krishna was given charge of the small calves. And he and his small cowherd boys, who were also his age, like 5 years old, now they were going into the forest every day. And they were having so much ecstasy playing together in the forest. So many childhood games they were playing. And all the sakas of Krishna, the little cowherd boys, their mothers were giving them lunch bags that they could take into the forest. And in those lunch bags that they were carrying on their sticks, there were so many beautiful preparations that their parents had made for them, all different types of sweets and fruits. And Sri Krishna also was given by Mother Yashoda. So when Krishna and his cowherd friends came into the middle of the beautiful Vrindavan forest, in an area which was somewhat open, so Sri Krishna suggested to his cowherd friends, "Oh, here's a very nice place for us to sit down and have our lunch together." So all the cowherd boys very eagerly, they began to sit around Krishna, everyone facing to Sri Krishna, because Sri Krishna is the life and soul of the cowherd boys. They always want to see him at every moment. And if Krishna disappears from their sight, they feel so much anxiety. So now they're sitting in circles surrounding Krishna, and all the cowherd boys are facing towards Krishna, even from Krishna's back. And they're in lines and circles and circles. Thousands and thousands of cowherd boys. And all of them were taking leaves.
Leaves in brief.
Okay.
So that you can finish.
Okay. So they were taking their lunch like this. And all the cowherd boys were actually experiencing that Sri Krishna is looking at me. He's directly reciprocating with me, because Sri Krishna is the center of all existence. So therefore, by Krishna's absolute position, they were all experiencing their direct relationship, exchanging rasa with Krishna and sakya rasa. So now Lord Brahma was observing this situation, this scene, and Lord Brahma decided that he would test Krishna, because he was thinking, who is this small cowherd boy? He cannot be the Supreme Lord. He's just a little cowherd boy. So then he decided to test, to see if Krishna is indeed the Supreme Lord. So now Lord Brahma, he made the calves gradually go farther and farther away. They were grazing in the nearby grove, and the fresh green grasses they were eating, and gradually they were straying farther and farther away. And at that time, Lord Brahma, he took those calves by his own mystic power, and he put them into a cave. And in the meantime, Krishna noticed, and the cowherd boys noticed, that the calves had strayed away. So Krishna told all the cowherd boys, "My dear friends, don't disturb that you're sitting here taking your meal. I will personally go and I'll search them out. You stay here." So Sri Krishna went, and he began searching for the calves. And in the meantime, now Lord Brahma came, and he stole all the cowherd boys from that place, and he put them into a cave. So now, Sri Krishna was searching here and there, and he couldn't find the calves. And then he came back to the place where the cowherd boys were, and now he saw that the cowherd boys were gone. So Sri Krishna, he is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's appearing as a little cowherd boy in Naravat Leela, human-like pastimes. So Sri Krishna thought, "Oh, my mother Yashoda, she'll become very upset if I don't return with all the cowherd boys." So Sri Krishna, what did he do? He immediately expanded his inconceivable potency. By his own expansion, he himself became every single cowherd boy. In complete detail, all of their bodily features looking exactly like them, the way that they dressed, their mannerisms, their voice, the way that they spoke, every single feature, even their cowherd sticks, everything. He became personally all the cowherd boys, and he personally became all of the calves as well, in complete detail. So now Sri Krishna performed the pastime of returning to the village of Vrindavan. And when they were coming into the village of Vrindavan, as they usually would at the end of the day, all the dust was raising in the air, all the Brijbasis were seeing Krishna arriving, and at that time, Sri Krishna as the cowherd boys entered into the house of every Brijvasi mother. And he also entered into the cowshed, and he became the calf next to every single cow in Vrindavan. And why did Sri Krishna do this? Because all the Brijvasi gopis, the elderly gopis, they consider Krishna to be their very own son. They love Krishna, even though he's the son of Mother Yashoda. They love Krishna more than they love their own sons. So Sri Krishna, knowing that they had a desire to have Krishna as their own son and to breastfeed Krishna with their own milk, he became their own sons. And then also the cows, they also consider Krishna their dearmost beloved as like a son. They have vatsalya ras for Krishna. So they also wanted to feed their milk directly from their udders. So Krishna became the calves and he drank the milk of the mother cows directly from their udders. Also during this time period, Krishna remained like this for one entire year, going and coming every day into the forest. And during that time, I think it was Garga Rishi told that this is the most auspicious time for all the young gopi girls to be betrothed to the gopi boys, to the gopas. And then there was this arrangement that they would be betrothed. Why? Because all those young gopis, they loved Krishna with the mood of Madhurya Rasa. So Krishna fulfilled their desire actually, and he became their husband in the form of these little cowherd boys. So in this way, Sri Krishna continued for one entire year. And in the meantime, Lord Brahma, because his time period is much longer than earthly time, 1 year of our time is equal to just a few moments of his time. So in the meantime, after Brahma had taken the calves and cowherd boys and put them in the cave, now he returned to his abode, Brahmalok. But when he came to Brahmalok, and he came to the gateway to his own palace, the guards were stopping him from entering. And he was saying, "Why are you stopping me?" And they said, no, you are bogus. You are imposter Brahma. You're not the real Brahma. We know." He says, "What are you talking about? I am your master. I am Brahma." They said, "No, our master is inside. And he told us that imposter Brahma would come. We should not allow him to enter." Then he began to think, Lord Brahma began to think, what's going on here? Because Krishna had expanded as Lord Brahma. So now he again returned back down to the earthly planet, and he went now just to that area where he had stolen the calves and cowherd boys, and he went into the cave, and there he saw that the calves and cowherd boys were still in the cave. But then he came to the place where they were taking their lunch, where he had stolen them from, and he saw that the calves and cowherd boys were there. So then he thought, what is going on here? And then he looked again in the caves, and he saw they're still there. Now he used, because he has four heads, so he used both of his heads, and he looked both places simultaneously, and they're in both places. So now he began to realize, I've made a mistake. I have tested the mystic power of my master. So, in the meantime, also during this year, Baladev Prabhu, he noticed that there was this special affection that was shown by the cowherd men when they would see their sons. Because one day they were herding the cows on the Govardhan Hill, and when the cows that they were herding saw their calves below, they went running down the hill. And then the cowherd men were thinking, what's going on here? They have so much affection for their calves. They began licking their calves. And even though during that year they gave birth to new calves, they liked their one-year-old calves even better. So then when the cowherd men saw at the bottom of the hill, they saw their own sons, they also went running down the hill and embraced their sons and smelling their heads, and they were overwhelmed by praise. So Lord Balaram was noticing this, and he was saying, how is this possible? They are exhibiting the same kind of love and affection that they have for Sri Krishna himself. Then he began to say, yes, now I understand. This is the mystic power of my brother, my younger brother, Sri Krishna. So even Baladev, who's the first expansion of Sri Krishna, sometimes if Krishna does not want him to understand what is going on with his potencies, even he cannot understand until Sri Krishna reveals this to him. And then Sri Krishna revealed the truth to Balaram. So now Lord Brahma, he realized his mistake and he wanted to apologize to Krishna. So at this time, when Lord Brahma was looking at this manifestation of all these cows, of these calves and cowherd boys, Sri Krishna gave him this amazing vision. He began to be witness that every single cowherd boy was a Vishnu form, an effulgent Vishnu form, and every single part, decoration of their body, all their cowherd sticks, all the calves, everything, they manifested thousands and millions of Vishnu forms, and he began to see the expanse of the whole universe. And now Lord Brahma was completely bewildered by the mystic power of Krishna. So later on, just after this, Lord Brahma, he came into a secluded place where Krishna was standing in the forest. And this little boy Krishna was holding a lump of foodstuffs in his hand. Lord Brahma came down on his swan carrier, huge effulgent form of Lord Brahma with four heads and golden crowns. And he came down and he threw himself full dandavat pranams like a stick on the ground in front of Krishna. And now he began to shed tears and to bathe Krishna's lotus feet with his tears. And now he stood up and began to offer prayers to Krishna. And Krishna was standing there, and one cowherd boy was standing next to Krishna, and he was just leaning against Krishna like a friend, and he was saying, "Oh, just look, four heads, four heads." So to them it was almost like a game, huh? But Lord Brahma was taking this very seriously. So Lord Brahma offered what are called Brahma Stuti. In these prayers he glorified Sri Krishna's mystic power, that many people think that I am very powerful, and that I have all great mystic power, I've created this universe, but I can say that I don't understand his mystic power at all. Compared to him, I'm like a firefly compared to the sun. And even if anyone could count all the atoms in the entire universe, they would never be able to understand the unlimited expanse of the Supreme Lord's potency. And he was praying like this to Krishna. He said, "Atapite Deva Padam Bujatvaya Prashada Leshanu Grihita Evahi Janati Tatvam Bhagavan Mahimno Natanya Ekopi Chiram Vijinvan." That, "Oh my dear Lord, unless someone has a tiny particle of the mercy of the dust of your lotus feet, only then can they begin to understand your greatness. Otherwise, even if they speculate for millions of years and try to understand your glories, they will not understand you at all." And then Lord Brahma, he prayed in great humility that he could become just a piece of stone in Braj. He began to understand how great are the Brijvasis, that they are playing personally with Krishna, that they have this personal relationship of breastfeeding Krishna like this. And he prayed to become even a stone in Vrindavan upon which the sweepers will wash their feet, will scrub their feet after sweeping even the toilet drains. So in this way, Lord Brahma became very, very humbled. And finally he prayed to Krishna, "Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam, nanda gopa vrajokasham, yam mitram paramanandam, purna brahma sanatanam." He said, "Oh, these Brijvasis, all these gopas and gopis, all the people of the village of Vrindavan, the cowherd people of Nanda, Braja, they are so fortunate, so fortunate. Yam mitram paramanandam purna brahma sanatanam. That supreme Brahma, who is the supreme absolute truth, personality of Godhead, who is the most powerful of all powerful, they're playing with him just like he's their ordinary friend." So in this way, Lord Brahma offered his prayers to Krishna, and then Sri Krishna, he forgave him for his offense, and Lord Brahma returned back to his abode, and in this way, he returned also the cowherd boys and the calves. But actually, Lord Brahma could not steal the actual cowherd boys and calves. Why? Because just like when Ravana tried to steal Sita Devi, actually, he did not steal the real Sita, because no demoniac person can ever touch the real Sita, no person in the realm of Maya. So therefore, Maya Sita was manifested, and only he was able to steal her. Similarly, Lord Brahma was not able to steal the actual cowherd boys. He thought he was taking the cowherd boys and putting them into a cave. but that was only a manifestation of the illusory energy that he was putting into the cave. And in another prakosht, another dimension, those cowherd boys of Krishna, they were playing in another universe, sitting on the banks of the Jamuna River. So in this way, the inconceivable glories of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he manifests as a beautiful little cowherd boy in Vrindavan, and that is the topmost feature of the Absolute Truth. Vansha Kalpaturubhascha Kampasini Guru
Rama Vigin.
Hare Krishna, I would like to make a very quick announcement on the behalf of Publication Assistance Team, which is a division of GVP. As the publicational team, we would like to recruit and train devotees in the field of the book publication to make sure the Gurudev's books to be published in the most effective and the quickest way possible. Our beloved Srila Gurudev said that his publication is his number one current concern for the world. Srila Gurudev is spending half of his time writing his books. All of the Vaishnava Acharya's works are flowing out of his heart to the whole world. So many books have been published so far, but there is still so much to do. Editors who are editing Srila Gurudev's books are few. So, so much manpower is needed. If you have any skill or any interest, any talent that you would like to use in the service of book publishing, Gurudev's book publishing, please come and see me after the class. Thank you very much.
Actually, the devotees to move back just a little bit further, please. Almost on the left of where the cameras are.